Welcome to Right Angels and Polo Bears, a podcast about editing words in all sorts of contexts. I am Adrienne Montgomery. On this episode, I revisit a column at copyediting.com about copyright and fair dealing. I'll tell you about a recent copyright infringement, it's been in the news, and an online tool that you can use to help clients determine whether a use is fair. I'll even tell you why you should care as a copy editor. So the news this week is about a toy manufacturer. I don't think I want to say the name. They're in trouble for using a song in their ad without getting permission. They said the use was a parody. Now that's one of the exceptions permissible under copyright law. And their ad certainly is a bit of a parody. And I have to say, it's several factors of awesome better than the toy itself. Way better. However, the song is by the Beastie Boys. And they point out that the use is very clearly promoting a product. It's indisputably an ad. Indisputable. For that use, even though they remixed it and had kids perform the song, you need permission. Parody is one of the exemptions from copyright. It falls under a category called fair dealing. At least that's what we call it in Canada. In the States, they have a fair use policy, and it's a lot more permissive than the Canadian version. These are the current exemptions for copyright obligations in Canada. So that means if you have one of the following, if you're using material for one of the following reasons, you don't need to ask permission. The reasons are research, private study, education, parody, satire, criticism, review, and news reporting. That's it. Those are the only exceptions you get in Canada. In the US, they use the words such as in the law, so that leaves the door open for some other similar like uses. In Canada, if your use of copyrighted material falls into one of those categories, you must still show that your use has been fair. It's a very open to interpretation ruling, gets decided in the courts. However, Queen's University has made an online tool. It's called the Fair Dealing Tool. It's designed to help you evaluate whether the use is fair and to keep a record of your reasoning. It is biased towards educational uses because it's made by a school, after all, but editors and their authors may find it valuable. Big changes were made to copyright law in Canada just a couple of years ago. One set of changes came about through the Copyright Reform Act, and the other set came from 5 Supreme Court decisions that I've written about before. You'll find a link to that in the show notes. There's very little definitive guidance about the Copyright Act. I found this enormously frustrating when I was studying for certification, when I tried to dig down to the actual you can do this and you can't do that level. All I got was case law. The preference seems to be towards deciding these cases individually, if it is brought to the courts. It seems like a lot of disputes are simply settled out of court. I think that fear and bullying guide a lot of decisions over whether or not to ask for permission. Deep pockets may affect that decision too. Are my pockets deeper than the copyright owner's? That's the question I ask. The courts aim to balance users' rights with creators' rights. I was surprised that users have rights, but I guess that's a good balance. So why should a copy editor care? Well, on the one hand, it's in our best interest to make sure that creators can defend their right to fair compensation. So if you want to use their material, maybe you should pay for it. On the other hand, flagging potential legal issues for our clients is one of the principles of practice set out by the Editors Association of Canada. They list it in their professional editorial standards. That's available online, and there's also a link in the show notes. Standard A5, that's the fundamentals of editing part. Standard A5 says, know the legal and ethical requirements pertaining to publishing. Do these standards expect editors to be responsible for the legal and ethical practices of their clients? I don't think so. That seems to be stated in Standard A9 of the same document. identify and address legal and ethical problems. It also says we should do that at the earliest possible opportunity. It doesn't say we have to rectify the issues. We simply have to identify them and address them with the client. I like to keep a record of those flags and their outcome. We'll talk more about client ethics in another post one day. Now, when it comes to music, there are far fewer permitted uses under the Copyright Act. You might be able to quote whole sections of a book without asking permission. Court records show that you might run into expensive legal costs, however, if you quote just two lines from a song, or even just write out the title. This strikes me as ridiculous, considering the need to prove that a use hurt the marketability of the original work. I mentioned that in that other article about Supreme Court cases. It doesn't seem like there's a lot of cases where two lines would hurt the marketability of a work. It seems more like it would increase the marketability. But I'm not a lawyer, and they are the ones who decide such things, case by case, all the way to the Supreme Court. When it comes to the depth of pockets question, remember that music involves several copyright owners. It includes performers, writers, composers, the label, and the distributor. That is a lot of pockets. I hope you'll leave your comments on the site or tweet me at SciEditor. That's SCI as in science, editor. To find links to the things I mentioned in this podcast, check the show notes at dameditors.ca. That is DAM editors.ca.